If you're buying a dental practice, you need to be very, very careful about listening to the advice from accountants. Accountants are great for taxes. Absolutely, when you're doing your taxes, you need to hire an accountant. But if you're buying a practice and you have asked an accountant to decide for you if this practice is worth buying, then you need to be extremely careful. Quite honestly, I'm getting sick of hearing from clients who have spoken with accountants, and accountants have either told them you should or should not buy a dental practice based upon the accountants looking at a profit and loss statement or tax returns. Before becoming a dentist, I went to school for accounting. I understand what accountants learn in school, and they do not learn about how to run dental practices. Asking an accountant whether or not you should buy a dental practice would be similar to asking a plumber how to play chess. I'm sure there are some plumbers that know how to play chess, but just becoming a plumber does not make you good at playing chess. Running a dental office and doing taxes for a dentist are not the same thing. The fundamental misunderstanding that 99% of accountants are going to fall for is the fundamental trap of believing that just because a seller produced a certain amount of dentistry, that a buyer is going to come in and default produce that same amount of dentistry. And in practice, in reality, what I have found is those things are only slightly correlated. Meaning, you could buy a practice as a buyer where the seller generated over $1 million in the previous year, and you come in and you might only generate $500,000 or $600,000. But if the seller had $500,000 or $600,000 of expenses and your revenue is only $500,000 or $600,000, then your income could be close to zero. On the other hand, I've seen dentists buy practices where the seller was only generating a revenue of maybe $600,000. But the buyer comes in and does something like $1.4 or $1.5 million. And the expenses, maybe the expenses were $600,000. The dentist just came in and did 1.6. That's $1 million of take home income in a practice where an accountant would have said, oh, this isn't profitable. The seller was only generating $600,000, $550,000 expenses. This seller only made $50,000. Oh, you're going to have your loan repayment. Your loan repayment is going to be another $50. That leaves you with $0 in income. This is a bad practice to buy. But the accountant wasn't looking at the actual business. The accountant was simply looking at the numbers. If you buy a practice where the seller is older, the seller's getting close to retirement, slowing down, potentially vision is going out, they're having a hard time seeing treatment, they might just be busy with other things. They don't want to do dentistry all the time. I don't know if accountants really understand, but dentistry is actually really hard. And sometimes it's not fun, just being completely honest with you. And you might get older, you might have $3 or $4 million in your bank, and you just don't really feel the need to treatment plan comprehensively anymore. Because the more comprehensively you treatment plan, the more work you're gonna have on your schedule. And I think that's something you're gonna find as a dentist, is you do get to a point at some point, at least many dentists do, where they're not treatment planning everything they see. Maybe they don't see it, you know, maybe vision is going bad, but maybe they also just don't wanna do the work. It's actually really, really common that dentists just get to a point where they don't want to do the work anymore. And so they tell the patients, I'm going to be conservative for you here. I'm just going to put a watch on that. I'm doing you a favor because I don't want to charge you for this. The reality is they just don't want to do another filling. They don't want to do another crown right then. They're tired. They want to go home. They're looking at their clock. They know this patient's been a little bit difficult with them. They want to get out. They want to go home, and they don't want to do that. And so they say, hey, we'll put a watch on it. You can find some practices where the seller really isn't that profitable anymore. The seller, the expenses are creeping up, the income is creeping down. An accountant's gonna look at that practice and they're gonna say, hey doc, I looked at the practice you sent over and the income is not very high here. And once we factor in your loan repayment, this is not gonna be a very profitable practice. You can't know that by just looking at financial statements. You cannot know whether a practice is gonna be profitable for a buyer by looking at tax returns. It's impossible. The two things are not correlated 100%. Then there's gonna be some correlation. I mean, if you find a practice that's extremely profitable, chances are it's gonna have a higher probability of being profitable for the buyer, but that relationship is actually pretty loose, because I've seen some practices that were absolute gold mines that clients have come to me and said, hey, I was looking at this practice, but my accountant said it's probably not worth buying because I'm not going to be profitable here. And I have to sit down with them and I say, Listen, your accountant's not a dentist. Your accountant's never run a dental practice. Look at how many active patients there are at this practice. Look at how much potential there is here. If you buy this practice, you are going to have so much treatment to do. On the other hand, I've had some practices that you look at how much work the seller was doing there and how many patients there are. There might be 500 patients and the seller's producing $2,000 per patient. And the accountant looked at this and said, wow, that's such a profitable practice. You're going to make so much money here. And then I look at this and I'm talking to my client. I'm like, hey, look, there's only 500 patients here. The seller is doing so much work on these patients. Look at how many crowns are being done. One of the things I do is I have a database of over 500 practices. And so when I get a practice, I compare how many crowns are being done, how many fillings are being done, how many implants are being done. And we compare this to that database of over 500 practices and we get an idea. And sometimes there will be practices that come in and the number of crowns is something like 400% the average for a practice that size. That means whereas one dentist might do one crown on a patient, this dentist is doing four crowns on that patient. I want you to think about what that means. That means the dentist is doing crowns on teeth that should have been fillings and probably replacing crowns that had just staining under the margins, maybe nothing, maybe just completely lying to patients and doing crowns, charging the patients. This is gross negligence. This is malpractice. And I see this quite frequently, actually. Some of these practices where this gross negligence and this malpractice, this is being done, those can be some of the most profitable practices on paper. You as a buyer, you might come in and you sit down, Mrs. Jones, nice to meet you. You look in, you're ready to do your exam. And Mrs. Jones has 10 brand new zirconia crowns that were just done last year. There's no work left for you to do. Yeah, the seller made a lot of money last year. Yeah, the accountant noticed. The accountant said, oh, this seller made a lot of money last year. But that doesn't mean that you as a buyer are going to make a lot of money after you buy the practice. So you need to be very careful listening to accountants. Honestly, I'm kind of sick of it. I'm kind of up to here because I just got off the phone with a client who had some absolutely horrible advice from an accountant. Be very careful who you're listening to. Make sure that they understand dental practice transitions. Do not do this on your own if you haven't bought a practice before. Understand that if you buy the right practice, it could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. But if you buy the wrong practice, it could be an absolutely horrendous decision. I've had a lot of buyers reach out to me who have said, hey, Chris, I bought this practice. My accountant told me it was a good buy, but I'm not making any money. And I go in and I look and I see, hey, you just bought a practice that doesn't have any patients. Do you realize you just bought a practice that doesn't have any patients? And they say, I didn't know that. I know it now because I don't have any work. My schedule's empty. There's no one here. I'm sitting here in my office by myself right now on a Tuesday with no work to do. They say, oh, what do I do, doc? And I say, well, you got to get new patients. You got to get more patients. And at that point, if you buy an office that doesn't have enough patients, really your only option is you go to marketing. You have to spend money to get patients in, which is really unfortunate. Why would you want to spend more money after you just bought an overpriced practice? But sometimes that's what you have to do. Now, if you buy the right practice, if you buy the practice that has enough active patients from the beginning, you might not even need to do any marketing ever again. Because if you have 2,000 patients, and let's say 10% of those patients leave per year, you only have to get an additional 200 patients coming in to replace that attrition. Just referrals from existing patients alone, if you're a good dentist, they're gonna be sending you friends and family. You're gonna get some people that just find you online. They're gonna find you through their insurance website. That's probably gonna be plenty just to replace those patients that are walking out due to moving or whatever. And so if you buy the right practice, I find most never have to do marketing. Now, if you buy the wrong practice or if you try to do a startup, you're gonna have to do a lot of marketing. And to me, I just rather buy the right practice up front. So the key message here is, do you need to have an accountant to do your taxes? Absolutely. Are there some accountants that are smart and have good advice? Absolutely. But if you ask an accountant to do an evaluation for you on a dental practice, you're asking them to do something that they are not trained and not prepared to do. Now, does that mean you should listen to practice brokers because they're not accountants? Okay, that's a completely other thing. I don't have time to get into that right now. Just make sure that if you're going to buy a dental practice, you're buying the right practice.